99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. You ever watch a movie and you see the hero of the movie get screwed and then all the upper echelon just, they all play along and you're like, this is wrong.
Yes.
This happened in real life to this guy, Navy SEAL Chief retired Eddie Gallagher. You probably heard it in the news, maybe in the background. You weren't really paying attention, but this is a massive, massive blemish on the military and the system here. 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Good morning, and thank you for your service.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Thank
you. Hey, so how do you go from being named Sailor of the Quarter and then Sailor of the Year for all the West Coast Base SEALs, being awarded two Bronze Stars with V for Valor, a meritorious unit commendation, presidential unit citation, two Navy commendation medals, three Navy and Marine Corps achievement medals, one with V for Valor, and five good conduct awards, to being thrown in prison for 9 months and your own government wanting to put you away for life? How does that happen?
I still can't believe that happened, but it's due to the fact that, we had some pretty bad leaders at the time in our community and in today's society, as we see, like, all it takes is for someone to accuse somebody and everybody jumps on and starts attacking that person, and you're pretty much guilty until proven innocent. So that's pretty much happens in the military as well, and my case has shown that.
So you've served in Afghanistan, in war zones, in Iraq. And so why don't you take us through how this happened? You had a couple of guys on your crew that you critiqued, right?
Yeah, well, we're in the SEAL team, so there's the way I was raised in the SEAL teams, there's no HR department, there's no none of that. It's a man's job, and we talk to each other a certain way if you're not getting the job done. And that's pretty much what happened in this last deployment to Missoula in 2017. There were some guys that just weren't up to the task. That's their first combat deployment. And they decided to, start complaining and whining while we're on deployment that they didn't agree that, they should be there. And they didn't agree with the job that we were doing. They tried to get other people in the platoon involved or on their side. It was created a very toxic environment. And so, I had multiple meetings with those guys and ended up, calling them out for what they are. They were acting like cowards. And they didn't take that too lightly. So they decided to go on a smear campaign. Like, they acted like a couple children. They got back and started rumors about me. And those rumors escalated into, they went from, I was dangerous as a chief and very aggressive and tactically dangerous to I murdered a ISIS prisoner, but they didn't come up with that until a year after that deployment. And that's when it really went off the rails. NCIS agent named Joe Warpinski took the case or looked to investigate it. But instead of investigating it, he formed a prosecution beforehand and then just tried to gather whatever information to pry me. The whole thing is, it stinks of careerism. Each person that got involved in trying to put me away was just trying to look out for their own career and either pick up some rank or make a name for themselves. As everybody saw, it spun out of control. They threw me in prison for 9 months before my trial. And while in prison, the media, the prosecution, and NCIS and my command all took the time to put out bad information about me, to smear me. So by the time I got to
trial, are you saying the media misreported something?
When did that start happening?
That's impossible. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
That was my first taste of really what the media does and can do, because, in the military, well, especially for me, I didn't really pay attention to politics or the news. I would just keep my head down, do my job, go deploy. And that was really drinking through a fire hose of what fake news really is and how each, certain outlets push their bias and their agenda in each article they write. So,
well, the truth is different to every beholder, and no one has the ability to hide it anymore. So it's just rooting for a team and leaving facts on the table if it doesn't support your team. It's a dangerous place. But now here you are with your life after serving 20 years in the Navy, 15 as a SEAL, serving in various war zones, honorably, thrown in jail. That has to be bizarre. Did you think that it was like a nightmare? Like you're being walked down the hall in cuffs?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing was surreal. I mean, the whole time I just kept thinking, I was like, you know, this, you can't make this up. This is actually happening. And each time they came after me with something else that just didn't make sense, or they were making up stuff, all I could do was, I tell people this, the only reason we got through that whole thing is because we had two things on our side. That was God and the truth. And we just stuck to that and all the way until trial. And it came out during trial exactly how devious and how corrupt the prosecutors were, the NCIS agent, and even these guys who went up and testified against me. They got caught in all the little lies they had told. So it really was a big embarrassment for the Navy and actually for Naval Special Warfare.
You know, it's funny is that that wasn't heavily reported, you know?
Oh, so no. Yeah, no,
like
nothing
it would
was
be
reported.
Difficult for the media to say, you know what we've been telling you about this guy for the last year? All of it was wrong, you know? So
yeah,
we heard that
reason,
President Trump pardoned you. But that's not what happened. You were acquitted. There's a big difference of a president saying, hey, we're just going to let you out. We don't care what the court did.
Right.
And being acquitted in a court.
That's a huge difference. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the president, you know, he got involved and pretty much said, let me out of prison so I can defend myself before I get to trial. So he said, you know, due to what he's done in the military, and actually he has the right to defend himself, let him out. Because they were holding me in prison for no reason. So once he tweeted that and I was able to get out and, properly defend myself, people who didn't even know anything about the case, but they just hated the president at the time, then decided that, you know, they hated me as well. So I was attacked by the left.
Okay. This
so
makes,
it became very political.
This makes more sense now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's when, you know, New York Times started writing all these crazy smear articles about me because the president had gotten involved. It was eye-opening.
Wow, that's wild. Now, this ISIS fighter that died, we're talking to Navy SEAL Chief retired Eddie Gallagher. He has a book out called Man in the Arena, From Fighting ISIS to Fighting for My Freedom. This ISIS fighter who died, like there had to be an ISIS fighter who died in custody, right? If they're accusing you of that.
That's the thing. There was no ISIS fighter that died in our custody. We were on a battlefield. We had just gotten into a pretty good firefight. We ended up dropping some Hellfire missiles on a building that these fighters were trying to hold up in. We killed about 30 something of them, and he was the only one that survived, but he was on his death door on his way out. He was brought to us during this engagement, and we pretty much just did medical procedures on him until he passed away. Otherwise, the Iraqis, our partner force, would have taken him and chopped him up and did what normally they do to him is torture him and kill him. So we were like, hey, we'll just treat this guy until he goes off, you know, until he dies.
So that's the opposite of what you're accused of. So what did they say you
did? Oh, yeah. They said that we took this ISIS fighter, that I did perform medical procedures on him, but then out of the blue, I took a knife out of my, waistband, and I stabbed this guy multiple times in the neck over and over and over, which their story completely, you know, as detailed as they tried to get with it, and none of it made sense. There was pictures of the ISIS fighter. There was no stab wounds on him. There was, no blood on the knife. They took everything from me. They tested all my knives. There was no blood or no DNA. So they had nothing, but they just kept forward, kept pushing this story forward.
That's weird. Why wouldn't someone say, all right, let's take a look at these pictures. Let's take a look at this. Well, there's no evidence.
Pretty
we can't
obvious.
Proceed with this case.
Seriously. Mm.
Well, not only that, they were lying. They told everybody that there was a video that showed me doing such acts. They said there's a video that showed me stabbing the individual, which does not exist and there never has existed. But because there was a gag order on all the evidence, so nobody was allowed to look at it. They used that lie as a sword. They just kept telling everybody that. I mean, that lie got all the way up to the White House. You know, they were telling the President of the United States that, you know, he better not support me because there's a video. Of course, we ended up requesting to show that video because there is a one video they had, which shows me coming up to the fighter and starting to treat him. We requested to show that video to members of Congress, and the judge approved it. And once we were able to do that, the cat was out of the bag. Their lie. Wow.
They're like, okay, hot potato. We got to get out of this one.
Exactly right.
It's going to be bad.
Right, yeah, and you would think at that point they would have made a mistake, but they still kept pushing forward.
Of course not.
Navy SEAL Chief retired Eddie Gallagher on. He has a book out called Man in the Arena, From Fighting ISIS to Fighting for My Freedom. He had to fight his own country for his freedom,
which
is weird because he was fighting for the country's freedom. You get that? Yep. He was fighting for our freedom. Then he had to fight for his own freedom against the same people he was fighting for the freedom for.
Doesn't make any sense.
You get all that?
It makes no sense. Wait, can you say it again?
Yeah.
Say it again, please.
Man, it's nuts.
Yeah.
So we were talking during the commercial break there, and... So Chief Gallagher was and his team fighting ISIS in a building, major firefight. They take out like 30 guys, and then one guy lives, and then he dies. And he was accused of killing this guy who was, you know, prisoner or whatever.
Right.
I'm like, well, if you killed 30 in a building, what's the problem?
What's the issue?
They were like, I would not be good in these.
They were shooting
roles.
Back at me, so therefore.
I'm sorry. I take personal offense that he was trying to kill me like 5 minutes ago.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, one shot, I can see. When it was multiple shots, but guess what? Now you got to die.
Yeah. But it didn't even happen. That's the weird. That's what blows my mind. It was made up.
Yeah. Cockamamie.
Oh, God, it's an outrage. But
yeah.
I'm glad you ultimately got your freedom. And
seriously.
Your wife's a fighter. She fought for you. And
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the main reasons I decided to write the book, not only to get the truth out about what actually happened. And, you know, the media refused to report anything that was truthful about that case, about the trial. So I wanted to get all the information out there and then also put in, like, pretty much all the corruption and all the devious stuff the government tried to pull to put me away. But the main thing is I wanted to highlight just what a warrior my wife and my brother are, who actually stood up right when they locked me up and they fought back. They fought against the government and the media, and they ended up coming out victorious. I mean, they fought tirelessly day after day, each day I was locked up. So I really wanted to highlight that in my story. So people, you know, to give them the props they deserve. And, you know, those two are my heroes.
That's awesome.
Now the wife says, take out the garbage. Like, you can't say, not right now.
Okay, dear.
Like, exactly.
You are done.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, I fought for you. Now get your ass off that couch. Get that garbage out there.
And cut that lawn, for Christ's sake.
It's probably the only time Chief Gallagher's
anymore.
Nervous.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, it's good to have you home, man.
You know? No, I appreciate it. It's good to be home, you know.
What SEAL team were you with?
So I started off at SEAL Team 1, and then I did a bunch of platoons there, and then ended up at SEAL Team 7, and did a bunch of platoons there as well.
Wow. Have you seen any of these SEAL movies where you thought they got it right?
You know, I think that's the one of the cons of being in the military or being in the SEAL teams for so long. You can pick apart any movie, you know, because Hollywood will always Hollywood up a movie. But I, you know, I think there's certain aspects, you know, like with American Sniper, the Chris Kyle movie, I think they really depicted the relationship between the wife and husband and like what the family goes through during those deployments. I think they did a great job.
Who did we have on, AJ, who we asked about that movie, and they said, well, they in the scene where they were going through the soccer field, there was a sandstorm.
Yeah.
He said, I wish we had a sandstorm. We were completely exposed.
Yeah.
You know, there was one scene in Zero Dark 30 where the SEAL team's on the helicopter flying through the mountains. And I already know. Mm-hmm. you already know when you're watching a movie, well, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They make it.
Exactly.
But you couldn't help but be nervous.
Edge of your seat.
And just like, and the SEAL team on the helicopters, they're just quiet, not even talking.
Right.
Is that what it's like right before you go into something? You're just caught up in your own thoughts?
Focus.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to see these movies where, you know, people are on the helicopter talking and having conversations. I mean, it's really loud in there. Usually there's one guy on a headset who's talking to the pilots, and we just talk and pretty much hand signals on the way in, because otherwise you're screaming at each other. So, yeah, it is like that. We're just, you know, everybody's pretty much quiet and just going through their part in the operation, like what they got to do once we get on the ground.
Right. There's no guy with a meme saying, "Hey, look at this."
Yeah.
Look at this funny meme I found. Yeah.
Well, you guys make it look so easy.
Yeah.
You know, so many successful missions. It's really unbelievable what you do. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, that's what we're trained for. We train tirelessly to do missions like that, especially, development group, the guys who went in and got Bin Laden. I mean, those guys train for that type of mission all the time. So when they're called to do it, it's just another walk in the park for them.
Have you had one of those missions where, everything went wrong?
Every mission that you go on, you know, we plan it out, but we also know that the plan's not going to go as smooth as we think it is. And that's what makes us able to, we can adapt on the fly and flex to whatever problem happens during that operation. I mean, there's, you know, if you get into a big firefight on a mission, then yeah, it went wrong. Usually we like to go in, you know, come in and then leave without leaving a trace and get the job done. But, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. The enemy gets a vote as well.
Oh, the firefight. Right. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to have that.
Nope.
You guys want to get in and get out.
I
remember after Afghanistan, they used the SEALs in a wrong way, like as a fighting force, and they're supposed to be sneaky force.
Right.
And they lost a lot of SEALs in that. Did that become part of your training when you were training to be a SEAL? Did they use Afghanistan as a what not to do? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No.
Not Afghanistan, Panama.
Oh, that was back in Panama. I mean, that was definitely a lesson learned, and we learn about that as, you know, as we learn about all of our history and what we've done as we go through training, and, you know, so we don't repeat the same mistakes twice. During the, GWAT, going back and forth to Afghanistan and Iraq, I think because we were at war for so long, two decades, we ended up morphing into a conventional type fighting, which is the last deployment I went on into Mosul, Iraq. I mean, that was our mission, was to go out during the day in MATVs and just out in the open. It's like, here we are, and just try to clear ISIS that way. I mean, that is not a typical SEAL mission, but that's what we were tasked to do with. You know, no matter what we're tasked with, we're going to get the job done.
Man, that seems scary.
Yep.
Have you ever jumped out of a helicopter at night?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. Training purposes.
Just to get breakfast.
Oh,
yeah.
I want waffles, damn it.
nothing real world.
Denny's world.
How about off a boat at night and then through the water, and then you come up on land?
Oh, yeah. That's part of our training block.
Right.
Before we deploy anywhere, we go through about 8 months of training. And we are, we get tested on each of the individual skills that we're supposed to be masters at. And that's one of them is, you know, coming in through the water and sneaking up on a beach at night. So we do a lot of iterations of that.
I've gone through drive-thrus. Does that count?
No. What about explosives not going off? Have you had that? Like, we're going to get in this door. We're going to breach the door with explosives.
Right, the C4.
And it doesn't happen.
Right. It's actually silly putty. Right.
That happens every once in a while. That's a normal thing. It's called a failed breach. Maybe if the explosives got wet or, sweating on the way in or something, there could be many reasons why an explosive doesn't go off. But yeah, I mean, that's normal. We always have backup to take care of that problem.
When the Bin Laden raid was going on, did you guys know and were you backup, or how many people know about that? How did you hear about it?
I heard about it after the fact it happened. No, not a lot of people knew. That was Dev Group or whatever, SEAL Team 6, as they call them, and they kept that pretty tight-lipped when they were preparing for it. And so most of the SEAL teams had no clue about it until after the fact.
One guy said, I got a secret.
That's the thing about your work. You know, you can't really talk about it too much.
No, and you're dying to. Like,
you're not supposed to, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We had someone on who was, I'm having a tough Tuesday here.
Right.
But who was the person who wrote the book that they shot Bin Laden?
Oh, that was
Rob O'Neill.
Yep.
Yes, we had him on, and he said they went up to the front. They didn't know if Bin Laden was there or not, but they went up to the front door, and they blew the front door, and it was a fake door. Yeah.
And they
knew at that point, okay.
This is the right place.
We're at the right place. Yeah.
Right. That was for Amazon, actually.
You ever you get to take any of the explosives home?
That's cool.
No.
Oh, damn it.
I mean, that's a no-no for sure. You got to, you know, we turn everything back in at the end of deployments, or if we have extra explosives, we just blow it up in country and get rid of it.
Right. It's going to be a hell of a July 4th picnic.
I got to tell you.
We definitely have fun doing it.
Watch this.
There's
now.
Something about stuff exploding.
What else they blow? Garbage can.
Just like practice stuff. That's fun.
Yep.
But yeah. I got to tell you, this has to be a movie, right? This book? Has anyone approached you yet?
They should.
No one has. I mean, the book just came out in stores. It would be a crazy movie because there's so many twists and turns in there. I mean, and that's what my wife and I were saying the whole time that it was actually going on. We're like, you cannot make this up.
Right.
This is like a cross between A Few Good Men and My Cousin Benny, just of how amateur the court system is in the military. It was nuts. And so, yeah, we'll see, you know, as the book is out, you know, no one's reached out yet, but, you know, we have our ears open.
I think a lot of people in Hollywood wouldn't have the guts to make it. Like, this is a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yes, it is.
That's the other issue is, I'm not, it was the same with the publishing world. We decided to go with, Ballast Books. That's a, small time publishing company, but they gave us complete creative control. They could not print a word without us approving it. So, I mean, most of the other publishing companies are bought off by the left, and they would turn the story into whatever they wanted it. So it's the same with the movies, too. Like, we're not going to just give this movie off to somebody to let them turn it into whatever they want.
Right.
This is our story.
Yeah, no doubt. And, wow, what a compelling one and sad at the same time, but happy ending. You got out, so good.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I want people to get out of it. You know, it was a tragic thing. It's a 2-year nightmare that my family and I went through, but at the end of the day, you know, we persevered through it. And it's, you know, when you go through an adverse situation like that, you have two options. You can either, you know, sink down into a hole and play the victim role, which is a very popular option in this country right now, or you can fight back and actually grow and learn from your experience. And that's the route we decided to take.
Well, we love it. Man in the arena, from fighting ISIS to fighting for my freedom, Navy SEAL Chief retired Eddie Gallagher. We're linked up on the radio station website. Thank you for your service.
Thanks
for coming on, Eddie.
No, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.